I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss Gatehouse Media buying the Banner Herald, along with its parent company, Morris Communications, the future of leisure services, Athens' new sustainability office, and a new Athens transit route. All that and more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, Blake Odd with Flagpole, and District 9 Commissioner Kelly Gertz. Welcome back, Kelly. It's been a little while since you've been
glad
on the show.
Glad to be here.
And we might as well jump in with the Athens Banner Herald being sold, along with all the other Morris papers in the state and around the country. So, Blake, I'm going to have you go ahead and start us off on this one.
Former employee.
Right, yeah. I used to work there until
you've got a history.
2012, so I guess I know a little bit about it. And a lot of people have been asking me about this. You know, is it a good move? Is it going to help improve the Banner Herald? And, I mean, no one knows for sure. I can't imagine there could be any corporate owner for the company that's worse than Morris, so I don't know what Gatehouse could do.
Now, how do you feel?
Lots of love there, Blake.
Right. Well, so the Gatehouse bought the Banner Herald. They bought this is a company, I believe they're based out of New York. They're just sort of one of those media conglomerates that's just sort of like grown over the years as companies have bought each other, and now they own, I think, about 530 papers. Most of them are in the Midwest. They've got some in the South. I think at one point they bought a company that was based in Boston, so they own a lot of little like suburban small town papers around Boston, and most of these papers are pretty small. But
500 papers, still a lot of papers.
It's a lot of papers, yeah. So, and they bought 79 publications, newspapers, magazines. Morris also does a lot of niche magazines, lifestyle magazines, things like
that. Lots of travel guides lately,
right,
I think.
Yeah,
right.
Things like that.
And they got out of the horse business. They realized that was a real loser.
So that includes the Banner Herald, the Augusta Chronicle, the
Savannah
Morning News, and the Florida Times Union in Jacksonville, and the St. Augustine Record, the Topeka, whatever the name of the paper is over there.
Lubbock, a couple others.
Texas and Alaska and Kansas for some reason. So.
And for Morris, that was a smaller portfolio of papers than they had had.
Right. Well, in October.
They've been selling them off kind of.
Right. In 2007, they bought a lot of Morris, the same group, before they were restructured after their bankruptcy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Morris went bankrupt in 2010 after they had bought the Times Union and couldn't pay their bonds back. So that's been a big part of all of the cuts that have been going on at the Banner Herald. But, I don't know how much better off Gatehouse is because they went through their own bankruptcy in 2013. So,
right. But now they're all funded by this sugar daddy investment company that makes money off and doing nothing but transferring money, which is really
well. But I mean, that means that they're not going to really have a commitment to journalism because they're true owner,
right?
Which
corporate.
Is a company called New Media, which is owned by a company called Fortress, which is an investment company, and they don't care about journalism; they just care about the bottom line.
That's
and if
right.
your balance sheet is positive, then great. But if not, then
So it's not as if this fulfills anybody's dream vision of what a daily would be
in a
town as vibrant as Athens, where you've got, say, the St. Pete Times model of local ownership and local investment.
Not at all.
And very strong community
Brunswick
interest.
Is about the largest paper left in Georgia that is locally owned and has been since 1902 or something.
Wow. Flagpole's probably bigger than the Brunswick paper.
Yeah, it probably is. Flagpole is definitely probably bigger than the Brunswick paper. But,
also locally owned.
But. Morris, though, is not leaving us. They're still going to be the editorial manager.
Billy Morris,
right.
who ran the company until a few years ago when he turned it over to his son, Will, but still remains involved and is an extreme arch-conservative, the guy who forced the Banner Herald and all the other Morris papers to endorse Donald Trump, for example, against their wishes. He's still going to be in charge of the editorial pages at the three Georgia papers, including the Banner Herald.
What year did they sell the building?
I believe it was 2012.
It was 4 or 5 years ago.
It was when they were recovering from their bankruptcy.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'd be 10. That was 10. So that, yeah, that makes sense.
Morris still owns. They still own their property in Jacksonville and in Augusta, and that's really valuable property, and they're keeping that. So right. I think part of this is they're refocusing on real estate development. You know, they're going to redevelop all this waterfront property that they own in Jacksonville, and that's going to be where they make their money.
Right.
You know, I was just going to say the Banner Herald building is pretty nice on the inside.
Oh, it was.
They called it something else too. I don't know if I can say it on radio.
they built that at the same time we were building the Classic Center, and their building cost more than all of our complex the initial complex, and we built two huge buildings. And so that just shows all of the technology that went in there, just the painting of the central atrium.
Well, it's at least nice to have much of that building occupied now by the combination of Vox Pro and Round Sphere and some other tech-related activities.
Yeah.
So at least it's not mothballed space.
That's great. You'd hate to waste space like that.
Yeah, it brings a lot of corporations downtown, which is what we want to keep, that office predominance for the daytime downtown, for sure. But I think that we, when you look up on Wikipedia and other places, the management of new media has been pretty democratic, actually. So it's kind of, I'm sorry that they won't have more interest in their 500,
It'll be interesting even to see how this impacts, say, the sports world, which has been a profit center for the Banner Herald comparative to some other elements. Blake, before we went on air, we were talking about, what this might mean, and you were relating to me that they've not even been sending reporters to away SEC games in recent years.
Right.
And now this company, as I understand it, owns the Columbia, Missouri paper, the Gainesville, Florida paper, and the Tuscaloosa paper as well. So maybe we will see at least some stronger sports coverage.
Well, in terms of and that's possible. I mean, I don't know what they have in their minds. I mean, that would make a lot of sense to me. But, just in looking at their history, though, Gatehouse is just – they've been laying off people and laying off people and laying off people just like everybody else. And – they had a round of buyouts last year, and there were more layoffs just a few months ago with their papers. So
this doesn't change that big media landscape that we've sliding down on for the last decade more.
And when you look at the – I looked up on the Internet and looked at what some of the other news media and Politico places were saying. And when you look at them, they're predicting that they will do more and more lifestyle kind of things that come out of their central office so that they'll be – pulling stuff that you could, get from anywhere into the paper rather than focusing on local things. They call themselves community, but if they're not willing to staff it for community, we're not going to get community.
Right, because, of course, as folks at this table know, to really strongly focus on community reporting means you have to have
people there,
a big staff that have to be in a bunch of places where you might spend 3 hours at a meeting, but you get some important background knowledge that's going to help you as you're writing a larger piece or larger series of pieces.
Yeah, exactly. And it's time consuming, and you've got to pay someone to sit in that meeting, that you may or may not be guaranteed to even get a story out of it, but that's kind of the time investment that you make to sort of learn your beat, and it pays off down the road. But
it always pays off if you can do that. Always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But when you get so short-sighted with your money, that kind of thing falls by the wayside.
Yeah,
and that's
just
the backbone of being able to really cover a community. You learn so much in those meetings. You learn who the players are. You learn where you need to go. You get the history.
But then at a certain point, you get so short-staffed that you can't do this kind of beat development anymore because you just have to constantly be writing and posting things, and they turn out to be really shallow things, and then you get into aggregation, and you get into the national kind of syndicated content that Gwynnum's talking about, and all of a sudden that's really all that you're doing, and you're no different from anybody else.
I'll tell you the other danger we have in this town. And I am all for interns and and giving young people an experience that helps them as they come out with more real life experience. But the reality is, I'll never forget when our new chief of police was doing his city hall meetings or whatever. This guy came up to me after one of the meetings to hear my comment, because I had commented or said something. And I talked to him for just a few minutes, but I just walked away, and I tried not to laugh in his face, but it was just amazing how little this very earnest, probably intelligent young man was trying to cover something that had so many layers of who was there and what they were asking about and caring about.
Because he didn't have a basis for understanding.
He had no understanding whatsoever of what really went on at that meeting.
That's so common, though.
Yeah, I think back to when I was first running for office and, had relied upon, 20 years of local press time and was able to go back to the library and dig in the archives. So if I wanted to trace the history of the Greenway or I wanted to see what had been going on in policing over the last 20 years, I mean, as a candidate, that was valuable to me. And I think about the candidates of 10 and 20 years from now, will they still have that same volume of recent archive to rely on?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not.
That's an interesting point, Kelly. I don't think so.
I mean, the paper of record isn't the paper of record anymore. It hasn't been for years.
Right.
We're getting so short, just across the whole spectrum. I mean, even when you look at, you look at Flagpole, I mean, that's not our job. We're not the paper record. We're never going to be. That was never what we were supposed to be. So,
right.
With all the cuts everywhere, I mean, stuff is going to fall through the cracks. Like, there are things happening in Athens right now that are very bad things that no one knows about because there aren't enough reporters to find out about them.
Investigative reporting takes time, a lot of time. But the other thing I think that's important about what you were saying, Blake, is that if we are in a position to where we only have one paper of record and it's one that's run, at the lowest dollar possible with the least amount of local coverage possible, then we move into being an ignorant community about what's happening. I think Blake just did not give right then the credit to Flagpole that it has been picking up and sharing information in a way that really shows a huge level of local information that they don't have to do. They're a music,
It's certainly a segment of the population's go-to local news source at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that, but the point I was trying to make is we're never going to be as big as, we're still smaller than the Banner Herald, even now with all the cuts that they've had and everything, and we're just never going to replace everything that they do that they're not doing anymore. That's all.
And even with some more consistent daily online posting,
that's
a different model than being a daily print edition paper.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, it's not only just the candidates in the future political scene, but it's the whole civic history of our community is not going to be recorded in our newspaper. So who's going to pick that up, except for the Flagpole, where I'm really thankful for them.
Thank you, Blake. Well, on that gloom and doom scenario, maybe we can move to a slightly brighter topic and the most recent work session, Kelly. And I know there's a lot going on there, so I guess we'll let you start with what will we start with there?
Leisure services. Let's talk about leisure services,
right, which is one of the larger county departments outside of the public safety departments. And so you've got about 80 full-time permanent employees and then, of course, many dozens of temporary and part-time folks during camp season. And
your camp season is huge.
It's enormous. And as a result, in a lot of ways, that's a department that probably touches more individuals within the community than any other. Whether you just like to go and play a pickup game of soccer, whether you're in a gymnastics camp, whether you're playing Little League, whether you like arts activities.
Pickleball.
Pickleball. It's what's hot on the street, kids. Or any of the variety of things that can be done at leisure services facilities, of which there are many dozens of great facilities. However, just quite frankly, a department that's had lots of rancor around it for a number of years, to certainly my disappointment as a policymaker and elected official, But I think we saw some real beams of light at the work session this week, in which we talked frankly about some of the findings of the recent external audit, operational audit of the Leisure Services Department, talked about the prospect of a reorganization that in a lot of ways would infuse new enthusiasm into the different components of that department, the arts component, the recreation and athletic department, and then the natural resources element of the department too. Blake and certainly Gwen probably know that 5 years ago or so, there was a reorganization that was sort of a top-heavy reorganization that really put a lot of emphasis on finance and facility management, and really de-emphasized what I think a lot of people think and rightfully believe is the core mission of leisure services, to provide those functions that I just discussed in the arts and athletics, the programming, right. That's right. And the current county manager, Blaine Williams, seems very interested in seeing a lot of energy put back into that core mission. And so certainly as a chief part of that, there's going to be a hire of a new director this fall. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, that's
Kelly,
good.
There was a lot of discussion around the topic, and I mean, this has been discussed for years, but, you know, splitting up leisure services because there are all these competing interests where you have, you know, you have youth sports and you have hikers and you have, you know, various different groups.
Painters, yeah.
Painters, you know, that don't really have a whole lot in common with each other, but they're using the same facilities, you know, but I didn't really hear, you know, consensus about, you know, whether that's actually going to occur. So, I mean, do you think that's going to happen?
I didn't hear consensus about that either. And I'll certainly say as an individual, I was pretty hot on the prospect of splitting up leisure services 4, 5, or 8 years ago. I mean, given that it felt as if those missions were sort of becoming marginalized or sidelined. But in some ways, my life in educational administration has made me realize, you know, it is possible to do a good job at a few different things at one time with good leadership and good direction. Mm. You know, certainly in any large comprehensive school in this town, you've got science teachers and math teachers and language arts teachers, and you've got sports activities, and all those things are being done well. If you have good county management and you have a good department director, that certainly can be true in leisure services department. You know, while 80 employees is a large department, it's not unwieldy. You know,
right. Our past director, who Pam Reedy, I had a lot of problems with her. But one of the discussions that she and I had, and
it's the show of honesty this week,
right? Let's be brutally honest.
The airing of grievances.
You know,
well,
yeah.
6 months
well, I
early.
Mean, one of the disagreements that I had with her was that she did not understand how any department that was diverse could share finance and public relations. And that was just totally amazing to me because, one, you want your public relations to be coordinated and branding yourself in such a way that really does give a consistent picture of quality. And that's very hard to do with everybody doing their thing. And the other thing was the finances. I mean, look at the Classic Center, how many different things it does and uses the same financial programs. And so I really felt like that, you know, that the focus, again, was on that top heavy, that it became very corporate looking instead of being program. When Lonnie Dickerson was there, the old lady in the room says, but when Lonnie Dickerson was there, he made John Culpepper work really hard to take care of his finances, you know. And I think that kind of sharing and working together is what weaves together. I think Blaine's completely right when he says that leisure services is one of our most important infrastructures. And I really appreciate our community beginning to recognize that, especially with the Greenway and the Firefly Trail being a part of leisure services. And they're really the only part that has a huge volunteer citizen support network. And I've been pushing for that for years for leisure services.
Yeah, thousands of unique individual volunteers last year, which is pretty exciting. And obviously, as somebody who's devoted his life to youth development, the work that leisure services can do, ensuring that our kids from birth onward can have better existences and go out and then become better citizens,
right,
is critically important. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you're here, Gwen. I've long had questions about you know, the period through the 80s and 90s when you were in elected office, particularly around sports programming. So, you know, some of the current concerns are that there aren't enough sports programs to really reach out and take care of all the kids in our community. Did you have a sense during that period in the 80s and 90s that there was more of that going on? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I would just say that then our community centers were run by people who were very close to those communities. And they knew how to draw the parents. They knew what parents to call and say, get over here. We need so-and-so, so-and-so. Or I remember at Lay Park how effective they were in bringing in people that had been long-term residents of Nellie B., you know, and they became major supporters of that Lay Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not Lay Park, I'm sorry.
East Athens.
East Athens, right. And Tommy Lay over at Lay Park and Willie Ho, mm-hmm. those were long-term, and they had been brought up through the system. There were lots of kids that
had... So they had community ties.
They had community ties. We don't have that anymore. The, you know, I think we've lost a lot of our... And we also had the Public Housing Authority at that time was doing community activities. So they were training people and rearing people through the system that cared about the community and really recognized the programming that had to happen to help kids move. And there was a lot of school activity.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good information. I mean, mm-hmm. it says to me that at least one of the things we need to do is cultivate young leadership from within the community so those people become prospective leisure services employees and division directors and facility managers, mm-hmm. you know, in much the way that Willie Hull, who I know very well, was over at Lay Park.
Right. Now, one of the things I have to give them credit in that we kind of pushed this for years and it didn't happen, but now it is happening that they are training our young people in a program that's designed to build them into being able to be the lifeguards, and they'll be assigned at different pools, my understanding is, so that, you know, they're not home folk. Jesus wasn't appreciated in Nazareth kind of thing. But that's just one example of what we can do to create ownership from the communities we're supporting of the services we're providing them.
Right. Well, and the community does own these facilities, and they should feel that ownership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kelly, I also wanted you to touch on the fact that Athens has a new sustainability officer and office.
We do, and actually kind of dovetailing from leisure services, that office is an office within the management office at City Hall, and will be kind of interacting with leisure services, but also public utilities, public works, transportation, and others. And the goal is broadly to have a community that's environmentally sustainable and economically sustainable. And so sometimes that means that those lands that the county owns have to be well managed. And some of those are leisure services facilities, but some are not. You know, some are simply land along rivers like the middle of Coney, where we have a large tract on the Tallahassee Forest there. And this is something that a lot of communities have been doing over the last 10 years, is looking and asking, how can we use our assets to keep our community safe and healthy? How can we make sure that we're using our energy and our water in the most sustainable ways possible? How can we look to new energy sources and lower the financial burden on the community? You know, I mean, good idea that has been under some level of discussion is greater use of solar power. We've got some large dormant land that really can't be used for much else, like the former city dump that's right on the north of Coney River off the corner of Cleveland and College Avenue. And that's a project that the Sustainability Office could get off the ground for us. So, again, it's an office that's sort of a cross-departmental platform. And currently Andrew Saunders, who I think is going to be on this program in the coming weeks, is the director of that office. And Mike Wharton, who comes over from Leisure Services, is doing a lot of the planning and land management for that office.
Right. Well, I think what he's doing is trying to weave together a philosophy and an understanding of how each thing that we do affects our long-term quality of life. And I hope that's, of course, the high criteria for all that we do.
should be. I mean, certainly in the same way that we look back 150 years and think, right. Oh, if there had been some decisions made then, we'd right. be living a higher quality of life today.
Right. One of the things I would go ahead.
Oh, sorry. One of the interesting things I think about the Sustainability Office is the fact that Mike Wharton now is going to be involved in it. And we were talking about the Leisure Services reorganization earlier, and Mike was the Greenway administrator who was moved out of that position and really did a great job at it. And you know, a lot of people really thought that he did a great job at it.
Yeah.
He was moved out of it,
and now he's back now in a role where he's, you know, doing something similar, you know, where he's, you know, going to be helping manage these natural properties that the county
has. Yeah, I mean, just what a wealth of resource in terms of land management. And actually, you know, Mike, I'll say, is a wonderful person-to-person conversationalist and negotiator when we're having to acquire new land, whether that's for a large stretch like the Tallahassee Forest or whether it's for maybe a smaller, kind of more linear thing like a greenway. I mean, he could get out there and have those neighborhood conversations in a way that made neighbors feel comfortable about what was coming down the line. And I'm very glad to have him in the Sustainability Office.
Right.
I wanted you to also have some time to discuss that there's a new bus route.
That's right. So. For the first time in many years, we have a new bus route in Athens, route number 30, which is actually a new model of route in that it's not one that loops through the multimodal center downtown. And so this is the North Athens route, which is going to serve the VA clinic on the county line, the Danielsville Road corridor, go really all the way almost over to Coyle Middle School through the Industrial Park and serve that Country Corners and Pinewoods community up on Highway 29, very dense populated community that have not been served by transit
ever. And the Space Kroger.
I know. Yes.
but Blake's favorite.
Well, I think I'm so excited because Athens Tech should have been brought into the loop, you know, really strongly. And so I'm so glad because that is going to be that's the gateway for so many of those lower middle class young people who have great aspirations and those that don't want to go to college, but they are smart enough to recognize that
and want to develop some skills.
And the other thing we should mention about this new route just briefly is that it's an on-demand route. So you don't actually – there are bus stops, but you don't actually have to wait for it at the bus stop. If you live
within a mile
of the route, you can call and it will come pick you up.
Wow.
Yeah, and you have to call at least an hour in advance or up to a day in advance, and it will do just that.
Kind of a bus Uber.
I don't have the number off the top of my head, but
we do a great job of that in this community and with the handicap, the lift service. That, we do great.
So very exciting stuff for folks who live up there.
Right. All right. I guess that's going to be the last word. Kelly got the last word. And I want to thank my guests, as always, Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, Blake Ott with Flagpole, and District 9 Commissioner Kelly Gertz. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.